Moncrief on News Talk.
Next week, Disney Plus will launch a new documentary series on great love stories. And the first one will feature that of John F. Kennedy Jr. and his wife Carolyn. She worked for Calvin Klein, and he, of course, was heir to Camelot. And like all the Kennedy stories, it contained glamour, darkness, and ultimately tragedy. The journalist Leah Dan Hines has been having a poke around the background of this. Leah Dan, good afternoon.
Hi, Sean. Lovely to be here.
Would it be unfair to say that he grew up as a very entitled young man?
It would not be unfair. I mean, if you look at the book titles of his life, it's all The Reluctant Prince. CNN had a documentary only last summer, American Prince. So absolutely. And I think what'll be really interesting about this show is how they portray Carolyn, because typically she's been kind of the villain of the piece, despite the fact that her parents sued the Kennedy family for wrongful death after the plane crash successfully. Still, we kind of we hear more about her delaying them taking off because she changed her mind on what nail varnish she was going to get painted before they left. So John F. Kennedy Jr., there wasn't one moment of his life where he wasn't public property. He was the first baby to live in the White House. He was born 17 days after his father was elected. So, you know, he was part of American lore. He was beloved for his whole life.
Yeah.
He
and there's a few very famous photographs,
very famous.
Or at least two very famous photographs.
Yeah, there's one of him underneath the Resolute desk peeking out, his father working away. There's another which really cemented him as the kind of, you know, the future of this dynasty. The famous picture of him saluting his father's coffin. This was his actual third birthday, 25th of November, 1963, I think. And they had a little party from upstairs after the funeral, like really tragic stuff. But there's pictures of him saluting, encouraged by his mother. He barely comes up to her waist. And there's headlines, "We will go on." And, you know, Americans were devastated. This symbol of hope had been shot down and he was going to be the future. So that's kind of how he grew up. Moved to New York. His mother was very protective of him. Like, she tried to give him as much as any Kennedy can be normal. There's all these exchanges of her with the Secret Service where, you know, John must not see you. John must not. And they're kind of at the point where they go, "Do you want to just give up the coat? Like, we can't protect him." She was trying to give him normality, but he was beloved. And, you know, he came to that marriage as someone who knew how to handle that kind of media attention. And, you know, there's a story of his neighbour who was a gossip columnist who met him at a party with another woman before he'd met Carolyn. And the neighbour, who was on good terms, says, "Is this a scoop or will I let you have a life?" And John says, puts his arm around and says, "Let me have a life." So he knew how to handle the media and he was very comfortable with that.
And he had been, and this is before social media, but he would have been regularly on the covers of countless magazines.
Yeah, not so much, to be honest. Like, he talked about living in a cage in a way. Growing up, she was very vigilant about their privacy and tried to give them, again, that kind of normality of cycling around, you know, that kind of thing. He was more, there's tons of shots, and obviously they're having a huge moment on Instagram, the two of them, you know, her style, whatever, but there's loads of shots of him on the bike. He was constantly cycling around. So he lived, you know, he went to law school, had to sit the bar exams three times, and there was a headline, "The Hunk Flunks Again."
Yeah.
So that was obviously, you feel for the guy. Did a bit of law, DA, and then district attorney, and then set up this magazine, George. Now, he actually was a bit ahead of his time because what he wanted to do was mix politics with pop culture, which is unfortunately where we're at. Trump is the, you know, horrible.
Where's the politics?
Yeah, well, he, you know, he saw that kind of, and George magazine, which he launched, it was, I think, 1995, it was around the relationship up and going. The covers are gems. My favourite, so their thing was named after George Washington, so they dress celebrity up in the powdered wig and the revolution gear. The best is Arnold Schwarzenegger, who was, of course, his cousin, in a white powdered wig on the motorbike in the leathers. Like, he couldn't make it up. Drew Barrymore dressed in the Marilyn Monroe dress and the wig, "Happy Birthday, Mr. President," which, of course, was Marilyn singing to John's father. Like, crazy stuff.
Yeah.
The magazine didn't do particularly well, but, you know, it's surprising.
Yeah,
no,
I mean,
one
spending all that money, no doubt.
No,
yeah.
But you get the impression that that was John kind of going, I was bored with law. You know, yes, he was, of course he was pampered and he was spoiled and he was entitled, you know, but he doesn't seem to have been, like, as Kennedy men go, he certainly wasn't the worst of them.
But that's a pretty low bar.
It's a low bar. It is a low bar. Like, there's a book that was out last year called Ask Not, The Kennedys and the Women They Destroyed, Maureen Callaghan. I read it and I had to keep taking breaks from it. And it traces down from, like, Rosemary Kennedy, who would have been his aunt, who was subjected to a prefrontal lobotomy by Joe Kennedy and then left in institutes for the rest of her life. RFK Jr., who were now being subjected to, his first wife died by suicide. She had come across a notebook, this wasn't directly really, where he used to mark the women he had had relations with out of 10 while they were married. Like, horrific yeah. men. You know, this idea that being a Kennedy wife, JFK himself, so beloved, but like constantly cheating on his wife,
yeah.
said to have given her diseases, sexually transmitted diseases that led to her issues with having more children. So yeah, he wasn't up there. So, but you know, like you say, low bar. But George was kind of thought they were, you know, he's going to go into politics and he needs to be seen to do something and executed a project. So that's yeah. kind of the context to the magazine's put in. Carolyn, on the other hand, born in White Plains, New York, and her parents separated when she was 8. She moved to Connecticut, very comfortable. Her mother remarried an orthopedic surgeon, I think it was. She'd 2 older twin sisters, close family, like well off.
Mm.
She was named ultimate beautiful person in high school, very American, and, you know, a bit of a golden girl, but nothing yeah. like a Kennedy. Studied education, elementary education, and then moved to New York and became a kind of VIP purse dealer for Calvin Klein. Dealer sounds wrong, but she would deal with the celebrities.
Yeah.
And by all accounts, really good with people, actually very charming, hardworking, always worked, all of that. When they met in 1994, I think the descriptions that you see of them tell so much about this story. He's referred to as the most eligible bachelor in the world. He was kind of on and off dating Daryl Hannah. He dated Madonna. There'd been a lot of high profile. She's referred to as a party girl who liked to go to clubs. They were both the exact same thing. People in their late 20s, early 30s who were, you know, having a good time. But she's kind of already set up as like, you know, there's a negative inference there. Party girl, you know, out clubbing, this kind of thing. Anyway, how they met, either she was fitting him out for a suit or they were jogging in Central Park and bumped into their friends. It's never being made quite clear. At the time, like I say, he was still with Daryl Hannah and she was with a guy called Michael Bergen who was on Baywatch. So there was a lot of, it wasn't straight away
yeah.
set or whatever. She never met Jackie. Jackie was ill around that time and that is said to have been a bone in contention, that she kind of felt he didn't consider her worthy of meeting his mother, who he was very close to. And there was a book about him called The Good Son, which was about their relationship. Anyway, they got together. He eventually asked her to marry him. She apparently kept him waiting for 3 weeks. And that was kind of one of the things that was said to have caught his eye about her, that she wasn't kind of like falling at his feet, because he was obviously used to that. I mean, he was chased. Sarah Jessica Parker dated him in the early 90s and she made a comment that she said, "I felt like I had to apologise for dating him." And I think that's very telling, that like he was owned by the public and he was beloved by the public. And there was always going to be this kind of mixture to the woman who married him of half kind of like, you could be up there as the princess, but also this is our beloved John, he was called. That was
so
his nickname.
The public were like a judgy mother saying, you'll never be good enough for my son.
I mean, I feel like Meghan Markle could probably have some things to say about this. And so it was a kind of tempestuous relationship, as it's always called. The earlier in the year they married in 1996.
There was a huge screaming row.
I watched the video earlier, so you don't have to, all 2.5 minutes. Found it on Reddit, so that kind of tells us. And it's a really aggressive, you know, shoving each other. He's at her. Then they go to sit on, he's on the sidewalk. She's shouting at him. There's, I think, an exchange that we think is the ring. And it became an 8-page spread in one of the tabloids. So that was in February and they married in July of that year. So it was known to be, you know, up and down,
like
you say, tempestuous. They get married.
Would it be fair to say she didn't really want all
not
of that? She
at did,
she
all.
Kind of had a sense of what she was taking on and what, not him necessarily, but the whole media hoopla around it.
I'd say she'd no idea that she was marrying the machine, not the man, you know? And obviously Americans like to say we don't have royalty. You know, they deify their celebrities and look where we are, Trump and that gold Oval Office. But I'd say she thought she could go on living her life. And like, it's very telling, the two actors who are in this show that's starting on Disney next week, the male actor has described listening to John Jr. did the audiobook of his father's book. So he listened to it. There's 18 seconds of her talking available. She never gave an interview. So she didn't want to be a public person, you know.
Yeah.
And they had the wedding and you can see already that's almost like the origin story of how it was going to go for her in the public eye. There was a bit of a resentment that there was this private wedding, only 40 people arrived, you know, or were invited. It wasn't this big affair because, you know, with these families, the public have a sense of ownership, you know, and are invested in their stories and expect them to kind of give of them. So I think that set them up, her up for you know, that kind of narrative that became she's an ice queen, she's frosty, she's unfriendly. They came back from honeymoon and he appealed on the doorstep to the press, please leave her alone. That was obviously ignored. And, you know, there's all these descriptions of her, ice queen, frosty, blah, blah. And actually...
sorry to interrupt, but is it like the cliches? It went from party girl to ice
exactly.
queen. It's all so reductive.
Exactly. And I think that's why it'll be so interesting how they handle this, because we're looking at things newly now. You know what I mean? We're reassessing all these stories. And you're thinking, was she an ice cream queen, or was she actually a woman who was leaving her apartment and surrounded by a group of aggressive, probably all men, shouting at her? And she's said to have been terrified. Like biographers have covered that, how her friends would say she was genuinely, as you can imagine, like quite frightened and wanted no part of this. So, you know, there was problems before the crash, and it's kind of the jury's out on whether the marriage was going to last. They were apparently in counselling. There were the fights. It was said that he wanted children. Of course, again, it was her fault, you know. But she had said to friends, I don't want to be pushing a pram down the road, you know, being chased by 20 photographers shouting at us. So that was, I mean, this woman had studied elementary education. Not that we need to justify whether or not she wanted a child, but she did seem like someone who was interested in children. But of course, that also became her fault.
Yes. And was there a point, can we definitively say that there was a point that JFK Jr. and Carolyn split up?
No.
It seemed like she moved out for a while, though,
didn't she? He used to stay in this hotel, apparently, and that boyfriend of hers, Michael Bergen, wrote a book subsequently where he kind of made out that she was obsessed by him. Like, he's a real charmer. And so
she was obsessed.
And again, like, there's accounts of JFK Jr.'s ex-girlfriend saying, oh yeah, I met him the night before they went on the flight. We used to meet for lunch regularly. And that's fine and nobody questions it. Whereas with her, suddenly it's salacious that she's meeting her ex, you know? So when we look at these stories now, you have to kind of peel back, like, it's what was she doing and what is the reaction to what she was doing? And that became the story, if you know what I mean, or the filters. Anyway, she was reluctant to fly with him. Rightly so, it turns out. Apparently his mother had always had a horror of him flying. He had bought a plane that it was bigger than what he was used to flying. He was not qualified to fly the plane. He was only qualified to fly by sight. So he couldn't use the kind of equipment fully. He just had an injury and he just had the cast off in his ankle. So, you know, she was right to have her doubts. Poor weather conditions, and they took off kind of late at night. And what seems to have happened is the sight was bad and he couldn't see the land, and he went into a tailspin. It was, in one account, it's called a graveyard spin. It sounds horrific. And they went into the ocean. They were with her sister, was also, like, horrifically tragic for her parents. Her sister was also with them, Lauren, who was a year older. She was on her way to a wedding in Martha's Vineyard, and then they were going on to Hyannisport. So they died.
Yeah.
And the official investigation showed that was his fault. And like I say, her family subsequently, about 3 years later, sued for $15 million. But immediately, you know, like, I read the New York Times obituary, and it was like, you know, right at the end, there was a tiny acknowledgement that maybe he shouldn't have flown. But then it was like the praise was like, and he did so well with his legacy. He never did anything cheesy. Like, the stuff he was being congratulated for was ludicrous. So, yeah, so she has, like I say, traditionally, she has been cast as the woman who kind of brought down this hero of the Camelot myth that his mother had created. But I think there is a bit of a reckoning. Like I say, that book I mentioned earlier, Ask Not, examines all, like, the stories for generations, both women who married into the family and women. Like, there's a story of a woman who was in a Jeep with one of the Kennedy cousins and was thrown from the Jeep, broke her back, and he was fined something like $100. So when you start to look at it, and what I found reading that book was like, I know a lot of this. Like, I know about the JFK
and
stuff.
Chappaquiddick,
exactly. And now, you know, so where we're left with now with the Kennedys is we have RFK Jr., who's obviously a cabinet minister, and we have who would have been John's cousin.
Yeah.
And we have John's nephew, Jack Schlossberg. So that's Caroline's son, who was involved in the wedding. I think he was like a ring bearer. He's now said he's going to run for election. He's running for office in America. He's the guy who his sister very tragically just died. She wrote an amazing piece for The New Yorker. She had cancer, his older sister, Tatiana. So that's kind of, there is a new generation coming and he's the image of John, you know, and he's the kind of what we would associate as the traditional Kennedy, you know, he's glossy, he's got the fabulous head of hair. He doesn't have any political background from what I can see. So there is that kind of level of entitlement where it's, well, I'm a Kennedy and I'm kind of to the manor born. But, you know, so that's, and then we've got RFK Jr., who's,
yeah,
you know,
but even I suppose even outside, as you alluded to there, women who marry into these big dynasties, whether they're actually royal or not,
yeah,
are always blamed for everything.
Yeah.
This is, you know, Princess Diana stuff.
Exactly, exactly. And I think like for Princess Diana, she maybe because she was, you know, aristocracy herself had slight more understanding of what she was getting into. And the kind of misunderstanding there was what Charles was going to be as a husband and as a partner. But I think, you know, it's really interesting, like we were saying earlier, that the Americans will claim, you know, oh, democratic and we don't have kings and whatever. And then here's this guy who, like, I mean, he was literally putting, you know, the Washington as a kind of prince king on his magazine, and he's deemed to be royalty. And with that, for the women who marry into that, I think the problem, and it's not a problem, like the problem for Caroline in terms of public, was somebody like Jackie played along with that. You know, she kept up the front. She put up with all of his stuff. And she, even though she was an incredibly intelligent, charming woman in herself, as she went on to have a great career in publishing, she maintained the party line.
Yeah, yeah.
And she knew to an extent what she was getting into. Whereas Caroline, who was 30, I think, when she got married, when she married, she was born in 66, she was, like Meghan Markle, thought, well, no, I bring as much to this as you do. You know, I'm very accomplished in my own right. And in a way, this is a pain in the neck. What you're bringing is no good to me. And so it's that generational shift. But the machine, you know, like, and even the fact that she was blamed for it was put down to the Kennedy machine went into, straight away, kicked in, and we couldn't have John being held responsible.
Yeah, indeed. Yeah. And so, as you say, it will be fascinating to see how it's treated when it launches next week. It's called Love Story. It's on Disney Plus. It launches on February 13th. Leah Dawn, thanks a million for coming in tell us about that. That was Leah Dawn Hines there.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.